Fear not to day what tomorrow will bring, sorrow and sunshine only. And Lord, I know you'll hang over everything. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all I'm saved, in sheltering time, living by faith.
One more, Brother George, please. Brother George, can you give us one more song, please?
Oh, we can hear. Oh, it went there, that's why, speaker.
Can you hear, Brother George?
Yes, I can hear you, brother, loud and clear.
One more, please.
One more. Know ye not, you are a temple. I don't know if Sister Angel is there.
Know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, you are a temple.
Yes, sir.
Know ye not, you are a temple. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Full of praise, full of power, full of full of praise, full of power, full of glory.
Hallelujah.
I'm full of praise, I'm full of power, I'm full of glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not, you are a temple. Of the Holy Ghost. Walking up the seven steps unto perfection.
Hallelujah!
Walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I'm walking up the seven steps unto perfection. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know it not, you are. Know ye not, you are a temple. Know ye not, you are a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George. God bless you, saints. We are the temple of the living God. And we have assembled this morning in the temple of the living God, as temples of the living God, so that we can give offerings. Because in temples, what they were doing in the Old Testament, it was a place of sacrifices, it was a place of offering, giving. So as a temple of the Holy God, we have come to offer ourselves as sacrifices in His temple. So let's just be ready to give up everything that we have, to abandon everything and to offer Him as a sacrifice. So we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for connecting this morning. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for another day, another Sunday, for your mercies that you are pouring over us every day, that you renew every morning, O Lord, like a dew. Heavenly Father, you have kept your people, though things are not as they should be in the world around us, O Lord. People are mainly affected by this spread of virus all over the world, O Lord. Many are passing away because of it, but the angel of the Lord is encamping around us, O Lord. Though it can affect us, but we are under your wings, O Lord. We are under your protection, and nothing is affecting. Nothing is doing us harm, O Lord. The devil can come and hit us and try to disturb us, but we are the children of the living God. We commit all our families that are affected here in Ireland, all over the world. Keep and bless and protect your children and restore, help your children recover and serve you. We thank you, we bless you. Bless the fellowship in Limerick, the saints over there. Let your hand be upon these meetings and let it be a blessing for that area of the country, O Lord. We commit everything into your hand. The service, bless it, Heavenly Father. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So God bless you richly. As I was praying, the devil is just a bluff, you know. Everything is doing to try to stop us, but the army of the living God keeps on marching on, singing the songs of victory. So nothing can stop us from serving the Lord. Even if he strikes, we have, it is written, by his stripes we have been healed. So today we are going to share a thought. I don't know if we can finish it today, that would be great. If not, we can finish it next time. Ezekiel chapter 9 from verse 2 to verse 11. It's quite lengthy, but it's worth it. Ezekiel 9 from 2 to 11. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of God of Israel, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And the Lord say unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your ear spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the court with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth, and slew in the city. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord sees not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense the way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which has the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You may take our Bible later again to read some more few scriptures. But as we have read, that man clothed with white linen and having hink holder on his side, he went through the city. He went out and across the city to put a seal, to put a mark on the forehead of those particular people who were praying, who were crying, who were interceding because of their people, who were interceding because of the wrong, the evil that was being done in the city. Those people were not just, Sunday believers. Those people were not just observers. They had the burden of the city of the living God. They felt the burden upon them that things they were seeing around them, the well-being of the city, of the house of the Lord, the well-being of the people of God, it was their burden. It was their concern. So those people didn't just sit there and watch. Those people were a praying people. They were so concerned that they were mourning, they were lamenting, they were praying day and night because of the people of God, because of the house of God. So that scripture will just help us to share these thoughts about our prayer life. About our prayer life. It's a topic that we don't speak about much, especially amongst message believers. We know very many mysteries. When it comes to mysteries, message believers, we are very blessed. We know many things. The seven seals, seven thunders, mighty angel that came down with a foot on the sea and a foot on the earth. We know the 70 weeks of Daniel. We know the church ages. We know about the rapture. We know so many things. But when it comes to prayer life, as message believers, we are not as we should. I don't mean we don't pray. Me involved, me included. I don't mean we don't pray, but we don't pray as we should pray. We are going to see in the Bible how believers prayed, how a Christian life, how a Christian experience is based, is the foundation block of a Christian life is prayer. But in the message, we really don't pray as we should. We spend our time, which is good, searching and, mysteries and reading this and reading that, which is not bad, which is good in it, but it's not enough to keep a victorious life. is not enough for a Christian if we don't pray as we should. Because this chapter we have read, God shows the prophet Ezekiel that things are being done in the city. The city is dying out. The city is being, you know, taken over by sin, by iniquity, by perversions. But what are the people doing? God was so angry that he sent his army to go and destroy. Because it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility seeing what's going on in the amongst the people of God. We should take our burden. We should take that burden in our hearts and, you know, intercede for the people. God wanted to see people praying for what's going on around the world. We are first to condemn people in the world. We are first to condemn what people are doing with all these new things in the world that we don't want to mention online. We are there when we see them doing their parade, when we see them doing their campaign with big flags and so forth. They've even, you know, they've even hijacked our one of God's attributes. You know, that flag they display. It's not, it become even hard for us believers to take it as our, you know, one of the attributes of our God, one of the attributes of the throne of God. It become hard for us to display it because they've overtaken it. They've hijacked it. And we are first to condemn them. When we see the flag everywhere, ah, these people. But what are we doing? What are we doing when we see all that is going around? Let's go even closer in the church of God, in the temple, within the temple. We are first to condemn the youths in our midst. They don't live a good life. They are sinners. They do this. The young girls are defiling themselves and this and that. But what are you doing as a believer? What are we doing? God wanted to see people. He sent those men to destroy, to because you are not taking your responsibility. God sent his army to go and kill and destroy. But he said, before you do, go and check. Watch. Those that have that burden, those that want to see things change in the city, in the temple, in the church, those that want to see, those that have the burden, that are really concerned to see Christians living a good life, go and seal those. Put an ink on them. Give them the Holy Spirit. But those that are, you know, careless about whatever is going, they are just there to condemn. That's a heathen. That brother, he has, he's a heathen. What have you done to pray about? We speak too much. We talk too much. We know everything from the soul to the spirit to the body to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But are we praying for our children? Are we praying for the pastor? We are first to wait. No, there are people who are there just waiting the day the pastor will fall. They are very happy. They say, the day they will hear that the pastor has fallen. That day. Because it's too much on us, sisters. Every day is there. You are wearing the, you know, tight clothes and you wear high heels. Every day is after us. But the day that preacher, that brother will fall, I'm waiting for that day. But do you pray for them? Are you praying that God should keep and protect his people? Our prayer life as Christians, as message believers, it's very important. That when we see things, the conditions around us, we see things the way the turn it takes in the world, it should be a time where us believers, we should be on our knees, constantly praying, not only for ourselves, not only for our children, for our wives, for our husbands, but for the people of God, for even for the sinners out there. Because amongst those we call sinners, they are children of God. Remember, Zacchaeus was one of those people they could call sinners, but he was a child of Abraham. So there's many things that we can do as believers, but we are just there observing, see, watching, and ready to condemn. Daniel, when he saw that the signs were there, Daniel, when he noticed, go and read it in Daniel 9. When he noticed that, according to the scriptures, he went and he did his mathematics. He did his sums. He said, no. This is the time. He went on his knees. If you go and read that prayer of Daniel, chapter 9, Daniel didn't even pray one single line for himself. Daniel was praying for the holy city. Daniel was praying for the temple. Daniel was praying for the people of God. Daniel was praying for the city of God. He spent times and times and times fasting and praying. When it comes to fasting, let's not even mention that. Because when if it's just about, you know, when it's about taking 5 minutes on your knees praying, you don't do it. What about fasting? Daniel went on and fasted. What about Nehemiah? When he noticed that there's something wrong, God's program doesn't work according to what it should be, Nehemiah went on his knees. He didn't pray for himself. He prayed for the people of God, those that are in Jerusalem, those that are trying to keep the flame alive, those who are on the streets trying to evangelize. Remember, my brother, those who go on the evangelization field, they go on a war. They go to defy the enemy. And don't think it's easy on them. The enemy will come and try to strike them while they are doing what they are doing. If God didn't give you that gift to go and, you know, testify in the street and go on your knees, pray for them. Nehemiah went in his secret, started praying for the people of God. What do we do? The prophet says, my Christian friends, this is in Testimony 1950. My Christian friends and sinners friends, whatever you do, if you believe me to be sent from God, you seek the kingdom of God just quick as you can and get into it. Don't stay in that lukewarm condition anymore. Lay aside everything. Just get as close to God as you can. Walk with him. Talk with him. Let everything else be secondary but your prayer life. Amen. Let everything else in life be secondary. Your prayer life. We don't pray enough. People who don't have the truth that you have, that we have, they pray a lot. They pray a lot. I remember the 2 weekends ago when we were at Avoca, we mentioned that in our discussions. Many of us, when we were in Pentecost, when we were in those denominations, we were reading our Bible every day, praying out every day, praying, really praying. By the time we got into the message, we stopped. Why? People, when we didn't have the truth that we have, we prayed a lot. But now that we have the truth, what do you mean? What do you think? That since we have the truth, we shouldn't pray? No. Let everything else be secondary, but your prayer life. The prophet says, when men and women used to pray all night and their homes were set in order by the book of the Lord and God was first in their home. See, we got too many things ahead of the Lord now. You can't have the prayer meeting because Mr. Godfrey is on TV tonight. You can't have the prayer meeting because We Love Susie is on tonight, or some kind of a foolish nonsense like that. Today is not Mr. Godfrey or We Love Susie. It's WhatsApp, it's Instagram, it's YouTube. It's many, many other things that prevent us We spend so long doing this, what the prophet calls nonsense, instead of being on our knees praying. We don't have time to hear the voice of the Lord. And those who do claim to be Christians just kneel down or of the little prayer like this, kind of homemade. Listen to the prayer. Lord, bless me and my family. Take care of us. Good night. That's it. I've prayed. And the next morning, rise and say, just guide us through the day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's not it. We should wait on the Lord. You see, we do all the talking. We don't give him a chance to talk back to us. We'll see later how they prayed in the Bible, how they entered in the presence of the Lord. That if we would pray and pray until our soul comes into the presence of God, and then just relax and listen to his voice. It's not a box ticking. Most of what we are doing now as believers is box ticking. Did you pray? Yes, I did. Did you read your Bible? Yes, I did. We tick the box. But the prophet said, pray until our soul come into the presence of God. You feel yourself that you are lifted up. You feel yourself that you are out of the body. What don't we pray as we should? The prophet says, but there's so many voices today that takes the voice of the Lord away from us. There's the voice of pleasures. He mentioned it. Social media. Busy life. You know, there's a lot of excuses now. You know, we are in Europe. You have bills to pay. I need to do this. I need to do that. And that's true. But we still can pray. I'll read you next time. We are not slaves now. We are free people. We still have to go to work, but we manage our own time. But you'll see the prophet talking about Moses' father in Egypt. He was a slave. He had to go work, do a hard work under threats, under being beaten up and everything. No rest, no annual leave, no holiday, no weekends. But he would pray all night. Though he was in slavery, he would pray all night. We are not slaves. We are the children. We are free people. Don't put those excuses, you know, busy life in Europe. And these are excuses. He says, well, I'm a Christian. I ought to read a verse of the Bible every day. And when you go and say, you know, box ticking, you say, I have to read a verse every day. You take your Bible. And the prophet say, what verse do you read? Jesus wept. That's your reading. You say, I've read my Bible. What did you read? Jesus wept. I remember one day I was talking to my children. I don't mention the name. I was asking them, did you read your Bible? One of them said, yes, I did. I asked him, what did you read? He said, God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son so that the world should not perish but have eternal life. I said, wow, that's what you read. You are just reciting what you know. Did you really read the Bible? He stayed calm. He said, did you read your Bible? He said, no, I didn't. Yeah, he was trying to fool me. That's what we believers we are. Well, did you read your Bible? Yes. What did you read? Jesus wept. That's it. Go ahead. But then to really get down and pray, they got too many other things to do. There are so many voices in the world, so many things to attract our attention from God. This is serious. To close, I'm just going to read one scripture and we continue next time. You know, there is something about getting alone to yourself. getting alone. Don't put yourself, self-satisfy yourself to say we pray every Friday. That's church prayer meeting. That's not your prayer life. That's church prayer meeting, which is good. He says, many people never pray until they come to church. Many people think that the only place to pray is at church. But the Bible says for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Don't wait until we are in church. That's not your Christian experience. That's not your Christian life. Prayer life should be a personal thing that you do on your own. And then when we get by ourselves, well, usually we pray different than what we should if we prayed in church. Sorry, let me switch off the phone. Sorry, this guy is from SHSC. I'm sorry. It's these people from HSC because we are caught off, all of us are COVID positive. So they just want to call us. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. They just want to call for these follow-up calls. So I'll take them later. Almost all of us were positive. My results came this morning and Carmel is positive. Everybody's positive. So I think it's just those follow-up calls. So just to close, when we get by ourselves, we'll usually pray different than what we would if we pray in church. It's the secret prayer that Jesus spoke of, saying, enter ye into a secret closet and close the door, and when you have did so, pray to your Father who sees in secret. And he that sees in secret shall reward thee openly. And when we are praying like that, there seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. We'll continue next time. But just let's keep this as we go along the way during the week. Prayer is something capital to us believers. Prayer is something to Christians, and this should be our daily experience. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for granting us this opportunity again. Be with us as we are going to fellowship. Be with us as we are going to through the main service now. We commit it into your hands, O Lord. Bless the song service. Bless your people. Help us to be a praying people. Help us to be a praying church, seeing things that's going around, O Lord. Let not leave it to be something, a burden only on the pastor, on the preacher, on the deacon, on the song leader. But let us take our responsibility and pray for our brethren, pray for the country, pray for the authorities, pray for the sinners, pray for everyone. Let us go back to our first experience where we could pray, where we could stay in your presence until our souls are lifted up, until we can feel out of our body, O Lord. Help your people. Lead us, O Lord. We commit the whole service into your hand now. Take control of the song leader. Take control. Take hold of the preacher, O Lord. Lead us as we commit everything into your hands. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.